Bless us, everybody. This is Dale. Thanks for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. So we're pressing on with the account of David. In 1 Samuel 19, verse 1, we read this. Now Saul told Jonathan, his son, and all his servants to put David to death. Let me just stop there in the middle of the verse. Well, that's pretty direct, isn't it? That's pretty cut and dry. So we've already seen where Saul was trying to manipulate and trying to do things to kill David. He was afraid of David. Okay, and then he got to the point where he just despaired of him because David prospered more and more in the Lord because the Lord was with David and the Lord had left Saul. Know this, if you rebel against the Lord, if you refuse his ways, he will let you go your own way. As it says in Romans 1, he'll give you over to it. He'll give you over to it. He'll give you over to it. Three times it says that in Romans 1. So Saul was starting to bear the fruit of this. And so now he's just forthrightly saying, telling his son, the heir apparent, and all of his servants, I assume that's Saul's servants, okay, might have been Jonathan's servants too. He says, go kill David. The king has said, go kill David. So what are you supposed to do? Well, you do what the king says. But no. The rest of the verse says this. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. And we've already seen how much he loved David and how their souls were knitted together and how Jonathan had literally given David the kingship, basically. Okay? He had transferred the articles and everything to David, the covenant picture. So watch what happens here in verse 2. So Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, is seeking to put you to death. Now, we don't have in this account right here, he didn't say, hey, Saul, the king, my father, told me to kill you. He's just telling him he's seeking to put you to death. David knew that Jonathan would not kill him. But what of the servants? What about them? One of the servants might have thought that he could ingratiate himself to the king by actually expediting the order of the king and seeking to kill David. So it was a very dangerous situation. So Jonathan tells David this, Saul, my father, is seeking to put you to death. Now, therefore, please be on guard in the morning and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. If I find out anything, then I will tell you. So Jonathan warns him, and he's telling him, he said, hey, tomorrow, just lay low. You know, don't show yourself anywhere. Just stay in a secret place. Hide yourself. And I'm going to go out with my father, and I want to stand beside him in the field where you are. That's interesting, isn't it? So there was, I guess, a secret place, because we're going to see more about this. There was a meeting place. There was a field that David and Jonathan, of which they were aware, where they carried on conversation. Okay, of course, the perverted in the world bring forth other storylines here, which are perversions that are untrue. But anyway, Jonathan is saying, I'm going to go out there and stand by my father. Well, why would he be standing by his father? Why would his father be in the field where you are? Perhaps seeking him out, searching for David. Either way, he says, I'm going to speak with my father about you, and I'll find out. And when I find out, I'll tell you what's going on. So verse 4, then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, so let me stop right here before we get into the details. Jonathan is speaking well of David to Saul. And notice how it's to Saul, his father, to Saul, his father. Just where we make sure we know which Saul we're talking about here, right? But there's a father-son relationship. This is being driven home. Jonathan felt free to talk to his father. He felt free to say what was on his heart to his father. And as we're about to see, he feels free to bring forth truths to his father that are corrective in nature. He's honoring his father. He's honoring the king. But he is speaking the truth, and he's doing it boldly. Okay? So watch what he does. He says this to Saul, his father. Do not let the king sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you. So boy, Jonathan, he strikes strongly at several things. First of all, he tells the king, and he says, hey, don't let the king sin against his servant. He's letting you know this thing that you've asked us to do is a sin. To kill David is a sin. And the king does not need to do this, does not need to sin against his servant David. David is your servant. He has served you. Aside from that, he has not sinned against you. To compound it all, and Saul was totally aware of all this, this is the reason he was afraid of David. On top of it all, the deeds that he has done have been very beneficial to you. He's reminding the king of this. So David has not sinned against you. The things that he has done have been beneficial to you, so don't let the king sin. But Jonathan presses on, just in case the king has forgotten, which he had not. Verse 5, Jonathan speaks, "For he took his life in his hand and struck the Philistine. And the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without cause?" So Jonathan's, again, being very forthright. He's showing the wisdom of a king. He's showing the wisdom of one that follows the Most High God. He reminds his father, hey, David took his life in his hand when he went out to struck the Philistine, speaking of Goliath. And when he did that, the Lord brought about a great deliverance, not only for David, but for all Israel. He's saying, Daddy, don't you remember this? All Israel was delivered. You saw it, and you actually rejoiced in it. So why then will you sin against innocent blood? Why are you seeking to put David to death without a cause? If there's a cause, then that's okay. But there is no cause. Why are you doing this? So he's really drawing his father's motivation into question. And without saying it, he's revealing what that motivation is. That is fear. That is anger. That is resentment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Verse 6, Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan. He listened to his son. Isn't that great? He listened to the wisdom that came forth. Folks, we would do well to do likewise, to listen to one another, particularly when it's the word of the Lord coming through someone, to listen to one another. So he listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul vowed, and here's what Saul vowed, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death." So Saul rescinded the latest exclamation that David should die. He'd already tried 4 times to kill him, I think, that we'd seen up to this point in time. Now he's mandating ex cathedra from the throne as king, go out and kill. He says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Now watch what happens. Last verse, verse 7. "Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these words. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as formerly." Jonathan brought them together. He reconciled them together. The issue wasn't with David. The issue was with Saul. So now David is in the presence of the king as he was formerly. A lot of typological pictures that are involved here. A lot of things for us to glean and to understand. What is this? First 7 verses of 1 Samuel 19. Read this before you recline upon your night bed this evening and just ask the Lord how he wants to do likewise in your life. How does he want to use us in the same way that he used Jonathan and David, particularly in restoring relationships and helping one another, okay? Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.